Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Gimel. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we continue with the new Gemara, a point of clarification, a detail, is necessary for the sake of accuracy in our Shiurim. The sugya that we're dealing with, in which we are actually in the middle of, deals with the place that Beis Din carries out its death penalty, the executions, must be located at a distance from the Beis Din. We are trying to determine the case of the Mekalel, one who cursed Hashem, who's punishable by stoning. How many machnos, how far out of Yerushalayim is he located? In trying to determine that, the Gemara had spoken at the lower part of Mem Beis Amud Beis about learning the din of the Mekalel, who needs to be stoned from either Purim HaNisrofim, which is processed 3 machnos outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Namely, you have Machnas HaShchina, Machna Leviya, Machna Yisrael, and outside of Machna Yisrael, which is Yerushalayim, is where the Purim HaNisrofim are processed. The other possibility was learning the Mekalel from Shchut Echutz, which is done immediately outside the Beis HaMikdash, and there's a violation called Shchut Echutz, sacrificing korbonos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That outside element is accomplished even if it's immediately outside, namely outside of one machna alone. In the course of that discussion, the Gemara was trying to find common denominators between Mekalel and one of those other two topics. Either is it parallel to Purim HaNisrofim or Shchut Echutz? In the course of that discussion, the Gemara mentioned that maybe we should parallel the Mekalel to Shchut Echutz. And that is in the sense that Mekalel has the following properties. It's a person, it's a chote, it's b'neshama, and the fourth point was pigol. We look at Rashi, a few lines from the bottom, pigol, michutz lamachne, d'shchut echutz u'mekalel. When you look at the expression michutz lamachne, in the context of shchut echutz and mekalel, I ato moitze pigol al yedei oisoi chutz lamachne. You don't achieve the violation known as pigol when speaking about chutz lamachne in the context of shchut echutz. Shchut echutz is simply done chutz lamachne, and mekalel is where he is supposed to be killed. However, there's no element of pigol in those chutz lamachnes. Pigol is a reference to slaughtering a korban with an incorrect mindset, either a mindset of incorrect time or incorrect place. In this context, it's a mindset concerning incorrect place, as will become clear very soon. Aval Purim re'uyim lehispagel al yad oisoi chutz lamachne. The case of Purim and Nisrofim is unlike the Mekalel and Shchut Echutz in this sense, that when slaughtering the Purim HaNisrofim, they're slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. She'im shochto, if while slaughtering them, one had the following mindset, Almanas lahaktir emurei mechutz, I want to offer its innards outside the Beis HaMikdash, mispaglin, that will have an effect and ruin that particular korban that we refer to as Purim HaNisrofim. So, chutz lamachne in the context of Purim HaNisrofim causes pigol, whereas the chutz lamachne in the case of shchut echutz or mekalel has no relevance to the realm of pigol. Hence, shchut echutz and mekalel have that element in common amongst the other three that were mentioned in the Gemara. We now go back to our shiur, our daf. We're focusing on daf mem gimel. The last point that was mentioned on daf mem beis was shitas Rav Popa. He was the second of three approaches in order to determine that the Mises Beis Din is carried out at a distance from the court and not immediately outside the court. Rav Popa's method of learning it was looking at the psukim in the context of the makalel itself. He learned from Hotzei as a makalel, that meant take him out of the Machne Leviyah, where Moshe Rabbeinu was positioned, and that was Pasuk Yud Dalid, and in Pasuk Chof Gimel, there's another reference to taking him out, by Yotziu as a makalel Mechus HaMachne, and according to Rav Popa, that meant take him out of another Machne, that once he was in, taken out from Leviyah to Yisrael, take him out another one from Yisrael to outside, which places him outside of Yerushalayim altogether, namely at a great distance from the court. We are going to be reading the Gemara from the bottom line of Mem Beis Omid Beis, which is a bracketed section, and the reason for these brackets we had mentioned in the previous year, but since we're learning it anew now, let us look at the note that is found on the in the margin of the Gemara. Ad Hasagraim Rav Popa Gomar Ikur Dvarav. Until this point, Rav Popa's finished his case. Miyad Achar Hasagraim HaGemara Maksha. Right after the bracketed section, the Gemara will ask, Hare HaTana Kvar Hevi Mokor L'Shalosh Machnos. The Tana was actually a framed section, the Gemara, under diamond number one on Mem Beis Amid Beis, where there was already a source, a Tanaic source, for taking the defendant out of the condemned defendant, taking him out of three machnos. Him came Lomali Droshes Rav Popa. What is Rav Popa coming to add something that we already had stated by the Tana? Betocha Sugraim, within the bracketed section, Hagemora Male Kushios al Etzim Adroshes Rav Popa Umetartzom. The Gemara will be asking focused questions on Rav Popa's own drasha. So in the brackets are questions focused on Rav Popa's drasha, and after the brackets, the question is of a more general nature, what do I need Rav Popa's drasha at all? So we now turn to the bottom line of Mem Beis Omid Beis. The Gemara asks, Hai miboya leila asiya, the pasuk that Rav Popa cited as a source for an additional distancing, that's needed to tell me that they processed or they carried out their instructions as they were supposed to. And it's not available for teaching me another camp. So the Gemara says, Asiya behed yaksiva. As far as the Klal Yisrael, as far as the Jews following the instructions and dealing with the Mekalah, there's another pasuk for that, which says, Uvenei Yisrael osu kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. When we say another pasuk, we really mean another phrase, because in looking at pasuk, at this pasuk, it's really a section of pasuk Chof Gimel, Vayikra Chof Dalet pasuk Chof Gimel. The whole pasuk reads, and we have this written on the margin of the Gemara, on Daf Mem Beis Omid Beis. The pasuk reads, Vayidaber Moshe el Bnei Yisrael Vayotzu es Hamakalel el Michutz Lamachane. That phrase was Rav Popa's source for an additional camp. Vayirgimu oisoy oven. Uvenei Yisrael osu kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. So you see the expression Uvenei Yisrael osu is at the end of that same pasuk. So the end of the pasuk tells me Asiya. The first part of the pasuk tells me what Rav Popa said, an additional camp. Ela me'ata, the Gemara asks, if it be so that you're darshaning this pasuk, Vayikra Chav Dalet Pasuk Chav Gimel, and you're saying that Vayotziu is here to tell me something of an insight, because as far as the Asiya we have another section. So what do you say about the middle of this pasuk where it says Vayirgamu Oisoy Oven? My Avdilei, what new point do you learn from that phrase? Because as far as the actual stoning is concerned, that's already referred to in Pasuk Yud Dalet of Perek Chof Dalet, where the Pasuk said, V'rogmu oisoi kol ha'eda. So what new information is contained over here? Answer, Hahu miboyale lichedesanya. I need vayirgamu oisoi oven for the following. The Pasuk says, once again it's quoted, vayirgamu oisoi bo'oven. and we focus on the word oso, means you stone him, which means equals veloix bixuso, the person himself without clothing on. In other words, it's only the person, it's literally the person, he is stoned without his clothing. Oven, what does that teach me? She'im meis be'even achas yotza, that if the person dies with the dropping on him of one stone, that's enough. There's no need to add stones. Ve'itzdrich lemichtav even, ve'itzdrich lemichtav avonim. There are two topics where the Torah discusses stoning. One is the makalel, is our parsha here. We're dealing with the person who cursed. The other one is the one who violated Shabbos, known as Parshas Mekoshesh. In that parsha, the word of stone appears in the plural, avonim. Why this discrepancy? So the Gemara continues in answering this question. We're dealing with a long point, the necessity of having Evan and Avonim, the singular and the plural. You'll notice the length of this particular point is several lines, as is indicated by the long point marking you find to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. You notice the Nun that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. So the Gemara proceeds to say, I need both. The E, Kosav, notice we've squiggle underlined to make it easier to focus if I had just one. And then a few lines later, you see at the beginning of the line, the E, Kosav, if I had just the other. So the Gemara says, the E, Kosav, Rachmona, Even, Have Amina, Hecha, Delo, Meis, Bechado. I would have thought that if the condemned does not die with the singular stone, meaning after the singular stone was placed on him, he's still alive. Lo nesi achriti umiktalei. Let us not bring any further stones and ensure his death. Therefore, kosav rachmono avonim. Therefore, the plural is there to indicate that if he doesn't die after one stone, he is subjected to additional. If I would have had the plural, havi amino meikora naisi tarti, I would have thought the initial stoning is done by two stones. Kosav rachmono even. Therefore, the Torah uses the singular to tell me that after he's pushed off the cliff, if he's still alive, one stone is then placed on him, and if that doesn't kill him, then and only then do we use additional. The Gemara now asks, "V'ho hai tano ne'emar komar?" If you notice, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Mem Beis Amid Beis. That means go back to Mem Beis Amid Beis and find a parallel arrow indicating Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, and you will notice in the middle of the Amid there, pointing to the Tanaic source, there was a line that said toward the end of the line, Ne'ma kan michutz lamachne, where the Tanaic source said, in the case of Mekalel, you have the expression michutz lamachne, and by Poram and Esrafim, you also have michutz lamachne. Now, when viewing Rav Papa's approach to the issue of outside of how many camps, there was no reference in Rav Papa's discussion to the Poram Hanisrafim. So the Gemara asks, why does Rav Papa say what he does when the Tana already gave us a source? Once again, v'ho hai Tana ne'emar komar. The Tana was citing a gezeira shava from Purim HaNisrofim, a word comparison from that other topic to our issue of capital punishment. So the Gemara answers, ilu lo ne'emar komar, v'hochi komar. The Tana, when presenting his proof, was saying that had there been no other source, then we would have had what I say. In other words, Rav Papa is the primary basis for chutz l'sholosh machnois, for distancing him outside of town altogether. However, had I not had Rav Papa's analysis, I would have been able to fall back on that which is featured in the Tanaic source and understand it thusly. Ilu lo ne'emar kro, had I not had the posuk that Rav Papa cited in proving chutz l'gimel machnos, ha'yisi oimer gezeira shava, I would have been able to rely on the word comparison and learn three machnos from Purim HaNisrofim. Achshav she'emar kro, now that I have Rav Papa's posuk and his analysis, gezeira shava lo tzorch, I don't need the word comparison for the purpose of three machnos. Rav Ashi, notice he's in a diamond, he's the third approach to the issue of Gimel Machnois. Rav Ashi Omar, And let us point out the difference that we're going to see between Rav Ashi and Rav Papa is that Rav Ashi, in looking at the pasuk of Vayikra Chof Dalid, we will notice we have pasuk Chof in Vayikra Chof Dalid, pasuk Yudalid, where the word Hotsei appears, and that will be focused on by Rav Ashi as itself, the word Hotsei alone, meaning outside of a machne. And then when the pasuk says Michutz laMachne, that will refer to an additional camp, whereas Rav Papa used Hotsei Esamakala El Michutz laMachne, the whole phrase, to refer to one camp. Rav Ashi, though, will see two camps in that one phrase. So we now continue with Rav Ashi, and also focusing on Vayikra Chof Dalid, Pasuk Yud Dalid. Rav Ashi Omar, Moshe Heichal Havi Yosef, where was Moshe located? B'machne Leviya. V'omar Le Rachmona, he was located in the Machne Leviya, which was the Machne right outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or outside of the Mishkan in Moshe's case. That was called Machne Leviya, and the Torah said, Omar, V'yomar le'rachmona, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Hotsei es hamekalel. The word Hotsei, take him out, equals Chutz l'machne Leviya. The same phrase, or pasuk, goes on to say, El michutz l'machne, equals Chutz l'machne Yisrael. Chutz l'machne Yisrael. That gets you out of all of the machnos. And in the case of the towns, that means outside of town. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it meant outside of the Machne Yisrael, outside of the entire Jewish encampment. The pasuk that Rav Papa used for a camp, Vayotziu Es HaMakalel, which was pasuk Chof Dalid, this, Rav Ashi says, equals La'asiya. The Gemara asks, why do you say pasuk chav, the beginning of pasuk chav dalid, where it says vayotziu, is for asiyah? Because you have another source for asiyah, that they carried out what they were supposed to. Asiyah behed yoksiv behu uvnei Yisrael osu kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe. There's that phrase which was also in pasuk chav dalid, teaches me that they carried out what they were supposed to do. So the answer to that is hahu. The phrase Uvnei Yisrael also is Miboyalei L'smicha U'ledechia, for the placing of the hands on the condemned's head, and for his being shoved off the cliff. The Rashi points out on the upper part of the narrow lines, Miboyalei L'smicha U'ledechia, Diksivi b'tzava, v'lo mifreshi b'asiyah. These ideas of being placing of the hands, this was something that was featured in Pasuk Yud Dalid, and the pushing off were stated in the command in the how to section of this parsha, but v'lo mifreshi b'asiyah, they weren't specified that they actually did it. Therefore, Hodor Siyem Kro Uvnei Yisrael Osu, that they carried out what they were supposed to, Af Smicho Dechia, concerning that as well. And Rashi goes on to point out, where do we see these two actions? So Smicha is learned from V'samchu Kol HaShoimim, which was stated in Pasuk Yud Dalid. And Dechia, Rav Hocha Ksiva, the idea of being shoved off the height, is not stated here, Elomi Sinai. It's learned from a different parsha dealing with Matan Torah at Har Sinai, Yoro Yore. Mikan She'echad Mino Eden Bova Doicheu Umapilo Migoiva Besaskilo Oretz. From that expression, Yoro Yore, we learn that in the case of stoning, someone is shoved off a height from the what's known as the Besaskilo to the ground. The Besaskilo Gavosh De Komos. The height of the Beis HaSkilah, the stoning site, was a height of two person heights above the ground, a type of cliff. Amru le, the Gemara continues, Amru le Rabbanan Rav Ashi, Lididcha, you who focus on the Pasuk of Hotsei Es Hamakalel, Pasuk Hotsei Es Hamakal, Pasuk Yud Dalid, Kol Hani Hotsi, Dixivit Beporam and Esrafim, all of the words Hotsei or Vayotsiu, Vahotsi that are found in the Parsha of Param and Esrafim, my darshis behu. What do you learn from them? In other words, we saw those expressions darshined in the Tanaic source that was featured under diamond number 1 when a connection was made between the Makalel and the Parham and Esrafim, but you don't make any connection with that parsha. So what do those expressions of Hotsi that are found in the case of Parham and Esrafim, what do they come to teach us? Kashya, that remains a difficulty, an unanswered point. Echad Omeid v'chulei. The Gemara at this point will be discussing what we've noted in our introduction, found in the No Se heading in the outside margin, prite based and different elements, different items that are found in the court. And we'll see which element, what items we're dealing with items that are related to the execution. Michel, me, who pays for these items? Possibility Aleph Hanidon Kone Elsam, the condemned buys them, or Beisdin Kone Elsam. So Omar Rav Huna, Pshita Li, the following is obvious to me. Echad Evan Shiniskal Bo, the Echad Eitz Shinitle Boi, V'echot sayef shenherag bo, v'echot sudo shenechnag bo, all of these four items, kulon mishel tzibur. Those are purchased from public funds. In other words, the condemned doesn't have to buy those things. What are these? Let's go over the list. Echot evan sheniskal bo is the stone that's used for killing him. V'echot eitz shenitle bo, after a person is stoned, the body is hung up on a pole or a beam until sunset. That piece of wood upon which he is suspended is the eighth shenit lebo, and the third item was the sayef, the sword that's used for killing him, and the fourth item is the material that's used to serve in strangulation. All of those items are mishel tzibor, that's from public funds. My taimo, why is that? Because it's unreasonable to say that a person should buy the things that he himself is going to be killed with. We now have a couple of questions. As you can see from the triangles, this features it's a series marking, a geometric form, which indicates something of a repetitious nature. We're going to now have two questions of other items from whom are the funds sought to pay, to buy these things. Boi Rav Huna, Sudor Shemenifim Bo, Vesus Sherotz Umamidom. We saw in the previous Mishnah that a flag was waved if there was positive information on behalf of the defendant, information that could save him. A flag was waved in order to signal the running party, the horse, and which was a speedy method of catching up with the people who were escorting the condemned to the stoning site. So a flag was waved in order to signal them to go and summon him back. And likewise, the horse that was used to run and stop them, Michel Mihu, from whom are the funds sought for paying for these things? So here we have Aleph O Vilma Beis, two sides of the question. Aleph, Kevon de Hatzoladi Day, since these are designed for his saving, for his salvation, Midi Day, who, maybe it should be paid from his own pocket, from the condemned's pocket. O Vilma, Kevon de Beidino, Mechayevin Lemevat Bo Hatzolah. On the other hand, since it's obligatory upon the court to seek his salvation, Midi Tu, it should be from the court funds. Vesu, a second question. Hal di Omar of Chiyo bar Ashi, Omar of Chista. That which Rav Chista says, Hayoytzi lehoreg mashkenoi sekut shel levoyna bekois shel yayin. A person who's being taken out to be killed, he's given a drink that serves to numb him, so to speak, to relax his mind. The drink is made of a small amount. A quart is a reference to a very small amount of lavona, a certain type of spice, and kois shel yain, with a cup of wine, kedei shetitrav daito, so as to make his mind woozy. And Rashi says velo yidag, so that he shouldn't be full of worry of concerning his impending death. Shenemar, the pasuk says that the purpose of wine is wine, and its intoxicating effects are designed for these situations. Shenemar tenu sheicher leoved v'yayin lemorei nefesh, give the sheicher's intoxicating beverages to the oved, the lost soul, and wine to the bitter spirit. V'tanya noshim yekoros shebirushalayim hoyu misnadvos u'mevius oison. Special women, important women in Yerushalayim, used to donate these things, the yayin and the kort shel avoina. What would be if lo hisnadvu noshim yikoros mishalmi, if they did not dedicate it? You were in a situation where there weren't fine women making this dedication. Who would pay for these? So as far as the second question is concerned, ha vadai mistabra mishel tzibur, from the pasuk we saw just above, it's most likely that it's a public payment. Kevan dechtiv tnu, since the pasuk says you give in the plural, miditu, it sounds that it should come from public funds. Bo minei Rav Acho bar Huna merav Sheshes. Before we go on, let us just note the topic heading that we've provided in the outside margin, the Nosei. Omer echod min haTalmidim yesh li v'lamid olov zchus v'nishtatek. One of the students present in the court case says, I have information or a direction that would lead to his innocence. I have what to say. And he never got to say it because he became silenced, nishtatek. He became a mute. So let us see the issue in the Gemara. Rav Acha asks of Rav Sheshes, Omar echad min haTalmidim yesh li lelamid olav zchus v'nishtatek mahu. I have information that could lead to his innocence, and he never got to say it. He became a mute. How do we view this in terms of the vote in favor of innocence or guilt? We have a small bracketed section. Within these brackets, there's going to be an attempt to reject the basic question itself, but that attempt at rejecting the question will not work. After the brackets, the Gemara then attempts to provide an answer to the basic question. That having been said, we'll go through the brackets straight. Menapeach Rav Sheshes biyadei. Rav Sheshes made a hand motion indicating that the question is no question. Nishtatek. If you're going to concern yourself with this student's becoming mute and think that his opinion should be taken into account because he said he had something to say, afilu echod besoif olam nami, then you have to take into account even someone in a foreign country. Maybe there's someone out there that has something positive to say. So the Gemara says that's not a consideration. Hosam lo komar, as far as someone way out in some different country, he never said that he has something to say. Hacha, but in our case, in the question that was posed by Rav Acha, Ko'omar, he said that he has something to say, he simply became muted and never said it. My, so what's the din? Toshma, let's come and hear a solution to this question. The Omer of Yossi bar Chanina, Echad min haTalmidim shezika umeis roin oisoki luchai ve'oimed bimkomo. In a situation where one of the Talmidim, one of the students present in the court procedure, who was successful in stating something of a positive nature on behalf of the defendant, and that student died. Now it comes to counting the votes, those who were voting for innocence and those for guilt, the Rav Yossi Bar Chanina tells us that even though he died, since he said what he said and we heard it, he's counted as an opinion. Upon this, the Gemara now infers, Zika in, lo Zika lo. If he successfully said something of substance, then he's counted as an opinion for innocence. However, if he never said anything, we've dashed underlined the case of lo zika lo, where if he just said he had something to say but never said it, then he's not counted. That itself would answer our question. The Gemara, though, rejects this answer. The dashed underline is to emphasize that this is the main point in the discussion. However, the Gemara says, Zika pshitali, as far as the case where one of the Talmidim successfully said what he wanted to say and then died, that's obvious that we should count him as an opinion. Omar, our case, tiboyaloch, our case remains a question where he said he has something to say but never actually said it, that remains unresolved. Afilu hu v'chulei ubavad sheyesh mamish bedvorov. The Mishnah said that even if the defendant himself, or the condemned himself, said that he has something of a positive nature to say on his own behalf, we reckon with it, we take it into consideration. The Mishnah said, provided there's substance to what he has to say. The Gemara now points out, Vafilu Pam Rishona Ushnia, are we to assume that this is the case, this provision, namely that we listen to him, provided there's substance to what he has to say, even after the first attempt to say something or the second attempt to say something? The Mishnah made a reference to, we will listen to what someone has to say, even if it's a number of times. The Mishnah had said, Afilu hu omer, the Mishnah at the top of Mem Beis Omid Beis toward the end said, Afilu hu omer yeshli lamed atzmi zchus machzir nasa afilu arba v'chamesh pe'omim ubevad sheyesh mamish bedvorov. Are we to assume that this qualification of ubevad sheyesh mamish bedvorov applies even after the first or second time he says that I have what to say? If that be the case, we have a question, v'hotanya, but it says in a Tanaic source, Pam rishono shnia. Notice we've underlined that. That's the focus of our discussion. Bein sheyesh mamish bedvorov, bein she'ein mamish bedvorov. We've dashed underline this because this is the point of problem. Even if there is no substance in what he says, machzirin oso, that after the first attempt or second attempt, he's on his way to be killed, and he says, I have something to say, even if it doesn't seem to have substance, we bring him back. Mikan v'elech, after the second time, then the rule changes. Im yesh mamish bedvarav machzirin oso. If there's substance to what he has to say, we bring him back. Ein mamish bedvarav ein machzirin oso. If there's no substance, then he just continues to the site of execution. The question then is, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, it didn't make this distinction between Pam Rishona Shnia. It just said, all of the time, there has to be substance to what he has to say, even the first and second times. So, Amar Rav Papa, Tirguma, let us explain that which our Mishnah says, that there must be substance to what he has to say in order for us to return him. That's Mipam Shnio V'Elech. That's from after the second time. But the first two times that he expresses that he the feeling that he has something to say, we bring him back under all circumstances. Meno Yadi, how are we to know whether the condemned has something to say that is of substance? Amar Abaye, de Masrina le Zuga de Rabbanon. Their escorts, accompanies the condemned to the execution site, two rabbis. Iiko mamish bedvorov in, they will evaluate if there is substance to what he has to say, then they go back. I loy loy. The Gemara asks, Vilim sarle meikora, why not provide at the very beginning the two rabbis, and we'll evaluate even the first time or second time that he says that he has something to say, and only then would we bring him back. Unlike what we said in actuality, that the first and second time, it doesn't seem to matter. So the Gemara answers, Agav the boys, because he's fear-struck, Lo motzi omar kol mai de islay. He won't be able to articulate everything he has to say. Therefore, even if we were to provide two rabbis on the from the very outset, the condemned wouldn't be saying everything that he has on his mind at that point. Hence, the first and second time that he says he has something of a defensive nature, we bring him back. We bring him back, even if it doesn't seem to have substance. Motzi lo zchus potruhu. If they find merit in defense of the condemned, they exonerate him. They let him free. Ve'im lav yetzei lisokel. He is returned to go to the execution site to be stoned. Ukruz yotzei lefonov, an announcement is made, precedes him. Ish ploni ben ploni yotzei lisokel. So and so is going to be taken out to be stoned. Al sheover avera plonis. Because he violated a particular sin that's worthy of this punishment. Uploni uploni edov. And so, and the names of the two witnesses are mentioned. Kol mi sheyodea lo zchus yovo v'yelamed olov. Anyone who knows something that could serve to save him, that could be said in his merit, in his defense, let them come forth and say it. Omar Abaye, v'tzoruch lemeimar, Abaye says, part of the announcement must contain the following, that he violated the sin, b'yoin ploni, stating a particular day, uv'shal plonis, uv'mokom ploni, the hour and the place. Dilmo iko diadi, there might be people out there that know that the witnesses that claimed it happened could not have been there. The osu umazim lehu, and those people out there will come and demonstrate that the witnesses that are condemning him are edim zoymimim. As we've mentioned numerous times in previous shiurim, that hazoma is accomplished by restating time and place matters, that the witnesses who claim the event took place at a particular time in a particular place are demonstrated to not have been able to have been there, because they were somewhere, they were at a different place at that very same time. Ukruz yotzei lefonov, an announcement precedes the condemned on his way to the execution site. And the Gemara makes an inference over here, lefonov in, meaning immediately before his execution, me'ikoro lo, but a long time before that, no. Rashi says something that at this point in the Gemara, looking at our daf, would seem a bit obscure. Rashi says, me'ikoro lo, arboim yoim koidem, but 40 days before the execution, that would not be the case. There would be no announcement made of this nature. The reference to this 40-day is, as far as our text is concerned, a bit obscure. However, if one notices the uncensored editions of the Talmud, one will find additional meaning to this particular Rashi. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We've provided a double underlining featuring a repetition effect on statements made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol hazoveach es yitzro umesvade olov. Anyone who slaughters his evil inclination and confesses concerning his sins, ma'ale olov akosav kilu kibdoi lakodesh baruch hu b'shnei oylomim. It's viewed as if he showed respect to Hashem in two worlds, in this world and in the next world. The double nun is a hint to the two worlds that were just referred to. Two honorings, an honoring in Olam Hazeh, in this world and in the next. Zoveach has to do with slaughtering the evil inclination. Todah is the idea of offering confession. The Rashi at the top says, Zoveach is Yisrael li'achar she'situ lachto. Someone who successfully defeats his evil inclination after he was incited to sin, who zovcho v'hargo v'shov b'tshuva u'misvad alav, he's able to conquer his evil inclination and return in penitence and confess over that. Shnei nunin dorish l'shnei kibudim. The two nuns, as we mentioned, are expounded upon as a reference to the two honorings. The Omer of Shulben Levi, another comment of his, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, Odom Makriv Oyla, when a person in the time of the Beis HaMikdash would offer a Korban Oyla, an Oyla sacrifice, Schar Oyla Biyado. Then he goes through a number of different kinds of sacrifices. Mincha, Schar Mincha Biyado, the offering of a meal offering. If in the time of the Beis HaMikdash he did that, he would get the reward of having offered that particular offering. Avomi shedaita shvela. However, one who is of a meek spirit, malav akosuf kiluhikriv kol hakorbanos kulan. He is considered as if he's offered all of the korbanos. Shenemar zivchei elokim ruach nishbara. The sacrifices of God, and this word zivchei is in the plural, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, meaning a humble or meek spirit. Not only is he considered as if he offered multiple korbanos, multiple sacrifices, but it's also understood that his prayers are not disdained, rather they're welcome. Shinemar leiv nishbar v'nidke elokim losiv zeh. One who is of a meek spirit and contriteness, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not deal lightly with it. HaKodesh Baruch Hu would not be mevazeh that kind of person, but rather take him seriously. The Mishnah says, "Hoyo rochoik mibeis haskilo ke'eser amos." Upon the closing in, the arrival at the Beis Haskilo, but at a distance still of 10 amos, omrim lo, we say to the condemned, hisvade, confess, shekein derech kol amumsin mizvadin, the way of all those who are to be executed, they first confess, shekol hamisvade, those who say vidui, yesh loy chelek le'olam haba, they have a portion in the world to come, even though they violated such a serious offense that warrants their execution. If a person expresses their regret, their confession and expressions of regret, they preserve their portion in the world to come. Shekein motzinu ba'ochon. We find this in the case of Ochon. This is a reference to the individual that violated the prohibition of taking from the spoils of the battle in the time of Yoshua, the spoils of Jericho, of Jericho. We'll see in the Gemara that Ochon may very well have violated more than one prohibition of taking spoils. In his case, he was sentenced to be killed. And it says, She'omar lo Yoshua. Yoshua says to Ochon before his execution, Beni, sim no kavoid l'ashem elokei Yisrael v'tein lo toida. Where Yoshua turns him and says, Tein lo toda, offer a confession. Vayan ochon es Yoshua, vayomer omno, anoichi chotasi, v'chazos, v'chazos, v'chulei. Where Ochon actually does offer a confession, acknowledging his sin. Huminayin shekiper lo viduyov, and from where do we know that his confession was effective in serving as atonement for him? Shinemar vayomer Yoshua me achartonu, Yakorcho Hashem Bayom Hazeh. And the inference is made, Bayom Hazeh Ata Ochur. Today you are considered cast out. The Ata Ochur L'Olam Habo. However, as far as the world to come is concerned, you're not considered cast out. Vim Eino Yudei L'Svados. If a person doesn't know how to articulate this confession, Umrim Lo, we say to him the following, Emor, say as follows, Tehe misosi kapora al kol avonosai. Let my death be an atonement for all of my sins. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hoyo yodea shu mezumam. If the condemned party knows that he was the victim of a lie. In other words, that the witnesses that testified him against him could not have seen what he did. Omer, he should then say, Tehei misasi kapara, al kol avonasai, let my death be a source of atonement for all of my other sins, chutz me avon zeh, with the exception of this sin, which was never a sin. Omru lo, the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda, im kain, if we allow such statements to be made, you kol adam, Omer kain, kidei lenakis atzmo, then everyone will say, even those that are really guilty, will say such a comment so as to clean their name. The Rashi at the upper part of the page says, you kol adam af hachoitim, even the sinners, you omrim kain, they'll say the same thing, lenakis atzmo min habrios, to preserve a clean name amongst the population, and cast aspersions thereby on the witnesses and the court that found him guilty. Tanu Rabbonan. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame, as all Tanaic sources appear in our marking system. The topic that we've assigned, the topic heading, is on the outside margin, Vidui Ochan, Ochan's confession. You'll notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This arrow indicates that you should find a parallel arrow, and if you scan up, you will find it was featured in a pasuk, Beni Sim No Kovod Lashem, where Yeshua was appealing to Ochan to make his confessional statement. The Brisa begins, Tanu Rabbanan, No. Ein No Elo Loshen Bakosha. It's an expression indicating a beseeching. B'shol Shamar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yeshua. Upon the defeat of Yericho and the taking of spoils, which was prohibited, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Chota Yisrael, the Jewish people have sinned. Omar Lefonov, Yeshua said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Michota, who sinned? Omar Le, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back, V'chi Diltor Ani, do you think that I'm a talebearer? Lecha Pel Garolos, cast lots in order to determine who the sinner was. I'm not going to reveal it straight out. Holach V'hipil Garolos, Yeshua went and cast lots, V'nofal HaGarol Al Ochon, and the lots revealed that the sinner was Ochon. Omar Loi, Ochon said, Yeshua, the girl, ato bo olai, are you coming upon me and you are willing to condemn me through the fact that a lot was drawn that indicates I am the guilty one? Ato velozer akoyin shnei gedolei hadoratem, you and the high priest of the time, Elozer, im ani mapil aleichem gorol, if I would put your names on lots and draw those names, al echod mikem hu nofel, I put your names in two separate lots and drew one of them, so one of you would be seen as well. In other words, Ochan is making light of the lot drawing procedure. Omar lo, Yeshua said, bevakosha mimcha. Here we've got dashed underlined the expression bevakosha mimcha. This is the focus of our discussion. This is a reference to the beseeching. Then you can see that we've added an asterisk, a star, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, trying to connect this with the line at which the Brisa said that No is a Loshon Bakosha. Yeshua appeals to him, Bevakosha Mimcha, Al Toitzi Laz Al HaGarolos. Don't cast aspersions on the procedure of lot drawing. Shasid Eretz Yisrael Shetischalek Begorol. The whole land of Israel will be apportioned through lot drawing. Shenamar Ach Begorol Yecholek Esoretz. Through lot drawing, the land will be divided. Tain Toda. So rather, offer a confession. Omar Ravina, Shchude Shachadei B'mili. Yeshua convinced him. Literally, Shchude Shachadei has to do with a bribe. In this context, Rashi explains, Shachadei B'mili, Hishchido B'shochad Dvorim, through, we'll call it choice speech or cunning speech, Yeshua was able to draw forth from Ochan this confession, Ad Shehoide, until he actually confessed. She kishe'omar loy pain loy toida, when Yeshua said, offer a confession, sovor she'ein mevakshim mimeno ela hoida v'lo yargu. Achan thought, incorrectly, but he thought that all that was being asked of him was offer a confession and that will spare him and he'll stay alive, even though, of course, that wasn't said. He thought that. And that was what's meant by the Gemara, that shechude shachade b'mili. The Gemara goes on to say, klum nevakesh mimcho elo hoda, all we're asking of you is a confession. Tein lo toda, offer a confession v'hi poter, and that will provide innocence, salvation. Upon hearing that, miyad vayon ochon es Yeshua vayomer omna anochi chatasi v'ashem elokei Yisrael v'chazois osisi. Upon hearing this offer, that just give a confession and be exempt, he confessed. It would seem a possible explanation for this, that the idea of become exempt, be hipoter, would be an exemption as far as the world to come is concerned, but Achan took it to mean that he would be spared altogether. We notice in the Pasuk some additional comments of Achan's, whereby he says that I sinned, v'chazos v'chazos osisi. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Chanina, Melamed Shemoal Ochon B'Shloisha Charomim, that Ochon violated taking of spoils on three occasions, namely three occasions, that taking of spoils was forbidden, and he did so anyway. Shnayim B'Mei Moshe V'Echod B'Mei Yoshua, two in the time of Moshe, and one, as is featured over here, in the time of Yoshua. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, after he said Chotasi, which is a reference to what he did now, in the time of Yeshua, it also says Kozois v'Chozos Osisi. And the repetition of the word Kozos indicates two additional times. We've labeled Rav Asi as number one, and we've also provided a diamond. The diamond is explained in our Mivneh heading, Misparei HaCharomim Shavar Ochan, the numbers of Charomim that he violated, the taking of spoils. The first opinion then was Beshlosha. Now we're going to see another diamond which has the word Chamisha featured in it, which is a reference to another opinion that says he violated five occasions this prohibition. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mishum Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon. This name is double underlined, as we have explained in our Mivneh heading, that this is an attempt to bring out the same name saying a couple of things. So the first comment of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is, in this context, Chamisha, that he violated five occasions. Arba'a b'mei Moshe, four in the time of Moshe, and v'echa b'mei Yoshua, shenemar. And this approach looks at the number of words in the Pasuk, Anochi, Chotasi, v'chazos, v'chazos, osisi. Five words, indicating a reference to five violations. Fi'ad hashta my time aloha anish. Up till now, why was there no punishment for Yisrael? Why were the people of Israel not held accountable for Ochon's violation? We know that in the time of Yehoshua, when Ochon violated the restriction of not taking spoils, that the rest of Klal Yisrael also were considered guilty. Why, though, up till this point in time, were the rest of Yisrael not held accountable? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Lefi Shelo Onash Al Hanistaros Ad She'ovru Yisrael Es HaYarden. The Jewish people were not considered accountable for unknown or for private violations done by others. Ochan's taking of the spoils was something one might say was taken in privacy. As such, the other people cannot be held accountable for that up till the crossing of the Jordan. However, once they crossed the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael was held accountable even for Nistarois. This issue is going to now be the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim, and it has to do with collective responsibility for public offenses and for privately committed offenses. Kitanoi, the Tanaic source, features this Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. You can see their names in the middle of the source are underlined. Hanistoros Lashem Elokeinu v'hanigloys lonu ulevonenu ad oilam. That's the pasuk which basically says that the hidden matters, that is for Hashem to deal with. That which is public, niglos, is upon us and our children forever. Loma nokud al lonu ulevonenu val ayin shebe ad. When you open up a Torah scroll, you will find over these words a series of dots. This is part of a tradition that goes back to the very beginning of the giving of the Torah, that these dots are supposed to appear in the Torah scroll. So you have a series of dots that are over the words Lonu Ulevonenu and over the letter Ayin in the word Ad, which said Ad Oilam. What are those dots doing there? Malame, they come to teach. Shaloi Onash Al Hanistoros Ad She'ovru Yisrael Asayardin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That privately committed offenses are not, the public will not be held accountable for those until they crossed the Jordan. Omar Lei, Rabbi Nechemiah, v'chi onash al hanistoros le'olam. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, is there joint or collective responsibility ever for privately committed offenses? V'alo kvar ne'emar ad olam. It says forever. Ella, Rabbi Nechemiah's approach is different. He says, "Kishem shelo onash al hanistorois." Just like there is no accountability, there is no collective responsibility for privately committed offenses of individuals. Kach loy onash al oinshim shebegolui ad sheavru Yisrael esayardein. Even with regard to publicly committed offenses, there is no collective responsibility until the crossing of the Jordan. Upon their crossing into Eretz Yisrael, they were then held accountable, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, only for publicly committed offenses, for those things that others knew about. However, for privately committed avaris, there would never be joint or public accountability. The question is, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, why is it that Klal Yisrael was held accountable for Ochon's violation? Ela Ochon, my time anish. Why was Yisrael held accountable and punished for Ochon's violation in the case of Yericho? Mishum dahavu yadi be ishto uvanov. Because it wasn't totally private. It was niglois. It was public in the sense that his wife and children knew about it. The Gemara, which will be part of our next year, will be continuing with this topic. But as far as we are concerned, with this we conclude our shiur for today.